Nathan Zagura, an emotional, notorious VIC, Vic Carucci here after a very good interview with Jim Kelly. Again, the website to go and check out to help Jim Kelly make sure that every kid gets a chance to fulfill their dreams and gets what he could do is huntershope.com. So be sure to check that out. And that was great stuff with Jim. We're going to go back to the phone lines, get some more barks from the dog pound. 216-578-0850. Growling for us right now in Alabama, we have got Dennis. What's up, Dennis?
Oof, oof. What's going on?
There you go, man.
What's up?
Hey, first of all, I want to say it's an honor, and I'm a lifelong Brown fan, and I'm so happy that Mr. Haslam purchased the Browns. And I wanted to know, what is the Browns organization going to do about building a fan base in Youngstown, Ohio, and also throughout other parts of Ohio? And if you don't mind, I have another comment. And
sure.
That is, I thought you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the performance of the Ravens last week. I understand I'm a Browns fan through and through, but I wasn't impressed with the Bills. I think it was more or less just a poor performance by the Ravens, as well as the when they played the Jets before. So I don't really believe in giving other team accolades when they're coming into our pound. And I think it's all about the Browns this year. That's
okay. We appreciate that phone call. It is all about the Browns. But we try to be fair and balanced as much as we can. We're biased too, but we want to give you the comparison so you know what you're looking
at. What to look for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's analysis. To your point about building up fan base, though, in the areas outside of Cleveland, we have a guy aboard here. This is I'm going to say very few teams, I think by title, this might be the only team that has this, but there is a vice president of fan engagement here. His name is Kevin Griffin, and if the last name sounds familiar, he is the nephew of Archie Griffin, the Heisman Trophy winner from Ohio State. Kevin, I believe, grew up in Columbus, but he comes to the Browns via Seattle. He was with the Seattle Seahawks, where a fan base there is about as good as any. They're proud of that 12th man label because they affect games. It's the noisiest crowd in the business. He's trying to achieve that kind of thing here with, you know, not single-handedly, but I mean through his efforts of guiding and leading this team here leading this effort here and building up fan base. He's the guy who's out there engaged with fans. And I think it's important to this team to try to build those fan bases in and around Cleveland. By the way, this just in, breaking news, got this from Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have just released quarterback Josh Freeman. Not a shock there. I mean, because he was on his way out. They wanted to try to trade him, couldn't get any takers apparently, but it was becoming so toxic. You talk about a situation that had got out of hand fast.
Totally.
For Greg Schiano, because I have a feeling he didn't do this soon enough, because the fallout from this is the guy who's hurting the most in this is not Josh Freeman. It's Greg Schiano.
His reputation.
He's taking the hit.
And he's going to get in trouble. It seems a lot of evidence. It hasn't been proven yet, but that the Buccaneers, somebody associated with him, whether it was him directly, was responsible for leaking that information about Freeman that is not to be leaked or released. It's a toxic situation. Yeah. I say good for Josh Freeman. Now, if I was Josh Freeman, I'd want to be out of there. Now, no, they couldn't get anything in trade for him, which is why he was released, but I guarantee he will be on an NFL roster immediately.
I think he can play.
He can play.
And I think it's been a combination of some factors. I don't want to make an excuse for quarterbacks, because you always try to find the reasons why a guy you think can play doesn't play, and sometimes it's a long path to getting back to the idea that he really can't or doesn't have it, and that might be the case. But I think in the right circumstance, at least, you know, we'll see how it turns out for him.
I think he's got the
skill set.
In 2010, he threw for 3,500 yards with 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Last year, he threw for 4,065 yards, 27 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. So he can play the game. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Bob on his cell is with us now. Hey, Bob.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a real quick question before I get to my shout out on the score. What is the what's the kicker situation? Because I think the Bengals game had a lot of unnecessary drama that was caused by the kicking game. Can you guys have a report out of what the kicking situation is?
Yes.
And also my score, if it stays dry, I think the Browns are going to score 21. The Bills will be 10. If it gets wet, I think you're going to look at probably maybe a 7-3 kind of game.
Oh, I hope it's – yeah. Well, you know what? I don't care. As long as the Browns got the four more points, I'm good with that. Thank you for that, Bob. The question about Billy Cundiff, and I spoke today with Rob Chudzinski. You're going to hear the entirety of his pregame interview on our pregame show, the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network show that will air later this afternoon. And during the course of that, we will air two parts of an interview I did with Chud actually today over at the Browns team hotel. Before coming over here, he is, I asked him about Cundiff and the struggles of last week, but he said he's been looking good in practice, feels good and confident, about, you know, his ability to make those kicks, the partially blocked one, you know, cleaning up some of those areas in protection, and they know where they're focusing on. So he didn't sound worried, and I'm not going to say it was false bravado of a coach just trying to paint a good picture on an ugly situation. I think he feels confident that Billy will rebound. The proof is in the doing, but that's the sense I got from him.
Yeah, agreed. So, all right, let's go to, we've got Greg in Georgia back with us. I like how many people, by the way, call this show. I'd say it almost seems like 50% out of state. That's pretty impressive.
Displaced fans.
That's right. What's up, Greg?
Hey, yeah, I can only hear you guys online from here, and I'm glad you guys do that.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
I think that Brandon is a very good quarterback, but I think timing is everything, and he just had bad timing. And Hoyer is just going to have to take over. Also, the score is going to be 17-10, Cleveland.
Got it.
17-10, Browns. I'm fine with that. I'm sure everybody would be happy with a...
That's a fair score, too, for... defensive struggle, maybe.
It is a fair score for a defensive struggle. Absolutely.
This will probably be. I just think, again, if we believe that the strengths of these teams reside in their front sevens, that kind of number is likely what we're looking at more than anything. Let's see, Billy in North Ridgeville with us. Hey, Billy.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, brother.
You know, I just want to say, you know, Jim Kelly is really, you know, he's a great guy. You know, he was a great competitor for so many years in the National Football League. And, you know, you hear him on interviews all the time. He's truly a great guy, and he's a real person. And I just wanted to, you know, it was heartfelt, you know, the way he always, you know, conducts, you know, talks in an interview and everything. And I just wanted to say thanks for the interview, Vic. And it was just great. It was heartfelt. And I just wanted to say thank you for the interview.
Appreciate you saying that. Yeah. He he's a very special guy. Jim and I, you know, have some things in common. We went together our whole careers as far as most of my formative years of covering the game, covered his entire time from the arrival of the United States Football League throughout. When in 2007, when I was diagnosed with cancer, Jim was one of the first people to contact me and offer support and love and courage and everything. You know, he's a strong man. One of the toughest individuals I know, and he couldn't have been more supportive to me. He says, you're gonna kick ass on this thing. I can't give you all the colorful language, but he gave me the football pep talk version of this and PMA, you know, positive mental attitude about it, and all constantly checked on me through chemotherapy and everything else. Jim was diagnosed with cancer in his jaw this just not long ago, this off season, underwent surgery. And he's doing great. Still getting those, you know, those checkups where they do the scans, the CT scans, to make sure everything's clean. And I, of course, when he went through that, I'm the one now giving him the support. And that's how it works, you know. And so you share that bond. And I know of no tougher individual to handle. He's doing great, by the way. He's told me he's got another scan coming up soon, but the tests, the blood tests, everything are great. And this guy is special. This guy is beyond football. You know, he just has that special thing about him. So you love when you got an individual like that who sees beyond the game. And he did when he was playing. It was all myopic. It was all football. Life changes for you, you know, through those many years. And yeah, we did our stuff together off the field, had a lot of fun together covering back in the day when, you know, about 100 years ago. But now it's you have a different perspective on life. But anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed it, because I knew it would be great, even for Browns fans, to hear from a guy who's supporting the other team to, you know, to join us. So, All right, we've got Gerard Cherry next. The guests just don't stop
here,
man.
The
they
show.
Just keep on coming.
That's
Gerard
right.
Cherry will join us. It's a football Thursday. It's a call your shot day, 216-578-0850, and a lot of you have. And Gerard Cherry is up next on CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.